Dissident and Charter 77 signatory Jan Sokol has devoted most of his energies to academia since 1989. But he has also been involved in politics and has some strong points to make about the Czech Republic's current leaders in this edition of One on One with Ian Willoughby.
Philosopher and one-time dissident Jan Sokol is perhaps best known among the Czech public as a failed presidential candidate, having missed out to Václav Klaus in the final round of voting in 2003, the last time the country's head of state was chosen by legislators. Professor Sokol has known the current, directly elected president since before 1989 and offers sharp criticism of Miloš Zeman in this, the second half of a two-part interview. But first, we discuss the period when, after the fall of communism, he was finally allowed to pursue an academic career. In the early 90s, you started teaching at Charles University. What was it like at the university then, so soon after the revolution? Was it a kind of a year zero situation where many of the older academics had to leave, or how was it?
Yes, it's here, at least here in Charles, I think the change was deeper than in other universities. And in the humanities, it was pretty deep. Half of the teachers at the School of Philosophy were replaced. The places were taken by people whom I knew, friends, a big part of them, pupils of Patočka. And it was a time when it was possible to make rather deep changes. We started then the what later became the School of Humanities, the new faculty of Charles, inspired by the American liberal education scheme, partly at least. And I think it was successful and something which in normal times would be hardly possible.
Getting back to politics a little bit, one question that still persists, I think, to this day is if the Communist Party should have been banned after the revolution. What do you think about that issue?
I think that is a typical naivety. Because, you know, in the country there were 1.5 million former or actual members of Communist Party. You cannot send them on the moon. So you have these people here, they're 13-15% of vote would always be there.
But they weren't committed communists. I mean, the 1.7 million people, they weren't believers, I'm sure.
Partly so, but one should not underestimate the fact that they were for 20 or maybe even more years together as a political elite. So they had their connections and all this, yes, it is here. I think that it would suffice to look, have a look to Romania, the only country which prohibited the Communist Party, and had then these former communists in all other political parties. So I think it is very, very naive to think that this would change the things.
In 2003, you stood in the third round of the presidential election in which Václav Klaus became the president. If I understand it right, Klaus was elected partly on the support of the Communist Party. And I was wondering how you felt the Communists had impacted your life for so many years. And then you're standing for president and it's the Communists who stop you becoming president.
Yes, it is different. You know, the Communists changed somehow, mostly because they become a permanent opposition. It was a completely new role. And so it was, yes, communism, for me, communism was always something alien. I was never attracted by it. And I spent much time analyzing what are the blunders of communism, theoretical. So what was after 89 or after 90, Communists played here a somewhat different role. Sometimes, you know, when we made in Parliament the first human rights declaration or the Bill of Human Rights, it was the communists who supported it, at the difference of some right-wing parties who were skeptical about it. And I think that they were not dangerous until the revival of the Russian, imperialism or the Russian politics of expansion. So now the communists are dangerous, just as an expositor of Putin Russia.
Václav Klaus was the last president elected by parliament. After that, there was a public vote for president. Looking back, was that change a good idea?
No, it was a big blunder. I wrote then, when the idea first came up in the late 90s, I wrote several articles explaining why it is a mistake. Because at first, deepens the division of the society. The presidential campaign is necessarily full of dirty things. So the candidates are necessarily, dirty, become by the campaign. Only very, very decided people can dare to underwent the campaign. And the president becomes implicitly a sort of opposition against the government. And this is a very dangerous development. So I think that the direct election of president has no advantages and only disadvantages.
And is that disadvantage greater when the president is somebody as politically skilled as Miloš Zeman?
Yes, sure. I would put it rather inversely. That is, only people with such political skill and energy and so this ambition, this unbound, unbridled ambition can become president.
You've known Mr. Zeman since, I believe, 1988. When you look at him today, he used to be a socialist, now he supports Trump, he's quite pro-Russian. What do you think is his political motivation? What's driving Miloš Zeman and his politics?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is for me a sort of enigma too. As I met him for the first time, he was a Masarykian idealist. We were 2 years together in the parliament. We were closely collaborating because I was a spokesman of the biggest caucus, whereas Miloš was president of the budget committee. And we were really friends. Then I think that he made in the high politics, he made several very bad experiences. I don't know exactly what it was, but he became very cynical, which he was not before. And so I think that today he is the most salient feature of his behavior is this cynicism. Because he is playing an primitive, whereas he is a fairly educated man.
Why is he playing a primitive, as you put it?
Because he grasped the opportunity to mobilize broad public, which is people who were not winners of the change, but losers. People who are somehow afraid of the changes. You can see it in all the Eastern Europe, this sort of rebellion of people afraid of freedom.
But if I can ask one more question about Mr. Zeman, what do you think it is that's driving him? Does he have a coherent ideology? What is pushing him to act politically as he does?
I'm afraid that he has no binding ideological line. He is simply looking after occasions. And if not himself, so at any case, his surroundings. People who are simply looking after money, not for themselves, but for the campaigns, they are doing something similar what does Putin, namely they try to mobilize oligarchs to support them. This is what Klaus does, and Heman too. They have good contact with the richest people who help to run a permanent campaign for him in the media, in the TV, and so on. And he is giving them occasions to make some good businesses and so on.
But would you say that Mr. Zeman himself is motivated by money?
I don't think so. Zeman is motivated by power and by being publicly known, having a public resonance.
And generally speaking, I know it's a very big question, but how do you view the state of Czech politics right now?
Well, rather calmly. In the upper levels, it is rather dirty. This is true. The case of the prime minister is sad. Yes, a man who was finance minister and has problems with taxes, a man who has a conflict of interest and so on. This is a sad story. Klaus Zeman and Babiš actually dissolved or lost the prestige which Havel earned for this country. This all practically completely lost thanks to these people. But on the other hand, one cannot overlook that the country is running well. It is not only economically, but in all respects, we are much closer to the successful democracies than we have been in the 90s. We have freedom like never in the history, and so on. So this all are some. It would be the question whether it is what is the role of politics in this. But in any case, I cannot say that we would be poorly off.
I was reading that you are a big contributor to Wikipedia.
Yes.
What do you get out of that? What's the attraction?
Yes, it's firstly, in my age, it is difficult for me. It's today difficult to write a book because I would have difficulty in keeping together the line. But it is very interesting to write short texts, like encyclopedic articles. And second, I realized that it is the way how you can really come in contact with young people. Young people are not very fond of reading, but all of them use Wikipedia. And so it is a writing where you can be sure that somebody reads it.
Professor Jan Sokol was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One.